It's Thursday, the 28th of May, day 68. Just over 8 years ago, I played host at Cambridge for 4 days to Dr. Eric Schmidt, who at that time was the executive chairman of Google. He was that year's Humanitas Professor of Media, an appointment that required him to give 3 lectures and participate in a public symposium. The presence of such a powerful figure in the tech world gave rise to much interest among students and staff. And it was fascinating for me. It was like getting an intravenous injection of a certain kind of ideology. When he came to Cambridge, Schmidt had recently published a book with his colleague Jared Cohen. Its title was The New Digital Age, Reshaping the Future of People, Nations and Business. As the title implies, it was a striking combination of tech determinism and Silicon Valley technology will change the world for the better, boosterism. I've just dug out my copy and opened it at a random page, which has a highlighted paragraph. This is what it says. On the world stage, the most significant impact of the spread of communications technologies will be the way they help reallocate the concentration of power away from states and institutions and transfer it to individuals. Throughout history, the advent of new information technologies has often empowered successive waves of people at the expense of traditional power brokers, whether that meant the king, the church, or the elites. Then, as now, access to information and to new communication channels meant new opportunities to participate, to hold power to account, and to direct the course of one's life with greater agency. Unquote. You get the message. As the Google boss extolled this Panglossian world vision, some of the students were unimpressed. Why don't you pay your taxes, one asked, pointedly. It's funny to reread this stuff now, with the benefit of hindsight. It was baloney back then, but it's baloney on stilts now. In the 8 years since it was published, the world has seen a concentration of corporate power of a density never before seen. Likewise, obscene levels of inequality, back to levels not seen since 1914. And while the world may be full of digitally connected individuals, happily WhatsApping and Instagramming their way to nirvana, an increasing percentage of that happy band find themselves members of the precariat, loaded with student debt, living from one gig to another, and finding it hard to afford the rent on a single room in a shared house. When Dr. Schmidt dwelt among us, we did occasionally discuss the power of the big digital monopolies like the one he headed. He had a reassuring bedside manner on this matter. If Google had a monopoly on search, he would say, then that was because it was providing the kind of search facilities that people valued. After all, the service was free, and other search engines were merely a click away. But what keeps us honest, he went on, is the thought that we know that somewhere in a garage, 2 kids are planning to do to us what Larry Page and Sergey Brin did to Alta Vista, the best search engine prior to Google's arrival in 1998. The implication was that the barriers to entry to the marketplace were so low that a couple of smart kids with a better idea could triumph. What he omitted to mention, of course, is that while that might have been true in the late 1990s, by 2012, when we were talking, in addition to the fabled garage, those kids would have needed a global network of giant server farms, together with exabytes of user data on which to train and refine their algorithms. The barrier to entry, in other words, had become as high as Everest, and Google and the other winners who took all were secure. And one of the many ironies of the pandemic is that these companies will emerge from it even more secure, with their grip on the world even more consolidated. And even as I say this, the Financial Times today reported that during the pandemic, the tech companies have been on a mergers and acquisition spree not seen in a decade. One other vivid memory of Schmidt's visit remains with me. At the end of the week, the limo came to whisk him to Stansted, where his private jet was waiting to whisk him to Paris, where he had a meeting with President Sarkozy. The following day, I opened the New York Times, and there on the front page was a photograph of the President of France and the chairman of Google, beaming at one another. A Martian anthropologist, looking at that picture, would be hard put to say which one was the territorial sovereign and the other a mere businessman. So much for the reallocation of power to individuals.